This is
Positively Hygiene
with your host, Amber Lovatos,
Amy Parenti,
and Angela Doe.
Listen on as we dive into the positive of dental hygiene.
Happy Halloween, everyone. So I don't know about y'all, but I love Halloween, and I thought, what more exciting to do than to share horror stories of dental hygiene from out there in the real world, what we have experienced. What we actually did is took stories from our listeners, and we will be sharing them in today's episode.
I can't wait to hear these.
Should I tell you my scary story?
Yes, start us off.
Mine's pretty bad, though. Okay, so trigger warning, guys. But I started thinking about it because there's like a TikTok doctor right now that's under like fire for like inappropriate stuff with patients. And it reminded me that I temped at a practice before, and I'd been temping for this practice for years. And on and off, I was being sent there by a temp agency. And the dentist was really nice, really good with the kids. He would like give them prizes, and he like seemed to like really care about the children. And one day I showed up and he wasn't there because his license was in the process of being taken away from him because he had used drugs from his practice to drug a teenage girl and assault her.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I never, ever would have guessed. I just thought he was, I never would have seen him like, and you know, we have the saying in Spanish, caras vemos, pero mañas no sabemos. Like, we see your face, but we don't know, like, really who you are. What really made me angry, though, was that, I mean, all of the situation made me angry, but that the temp agency sent me there. Like, they knew something was going on, and they still chose to send me in there blindly. Like, I wouldn't want to go and support this practice after that. He had his associate dentist there because he had two other dentists who worked there with for him. And he wasn't there that day.
That's wild. I mean, you hear some of those things on the news, but to hear that it actually... Yeah. The news, it happens too, right? But wow, that's...
I was talking to the other associate dentist, and she's like... She was really, really upset. She's like, now my name is associated with him and his practice, and they care for children. It was a pediatric office that this is what they do. Hopefully nothing as scary as this one. Hopefully the rest of these stories are scary, but not as scary as the one that I just said.
Okay, well, let's start from this one. I asked everyone to try to keep everything as anonymous as possible, so I will just read this as is. First story. I was lectured / yelled at for a good 10 to 15 minutes by my first boss / dentist about how expensive running a dental office is and how ungrateful I was, all because I asked why the bonus structure was unfairly skewed against hygiene, and this was in sterile with the office manager and all the assistants present, probably with patients in the rooms nearby as well, honestly. I wish I could have stood up for myself and walked out, but I ended up apologizing and cried in my op, finishing my notes for the day and on my way home. I worked there for probably another 6 months after that and left for a lot of reasons.
That's sad. I had a doctor scream at me once too. Same dentist who had me scale his teeth at the beginning of my first day working interview day. He was such a cheapskate. He made us reuse the chair covers. So he would like, we'd put the chair cover and then he would make us wipe it down. And then he would want us to like turn the chair cover and then wipe it down. And then he'd make us like flip the chair cover and then like wipe it down. And so anyways, I like in the midst of flipping and turning five times for.
How do you even keep track?
I don't know, dude. I left some debris behind and he started screaming at me and I was like, what the hell, dude? I'm just trying to make it through this day. You know, like, why even use chair covers? Just let me wipe the chair then. Like, why even? Like,
just for looks.
For show? Yeah. I don't get it. But yeah, he screamed at me for that. And so I was dumb and I stayed there for a little bit only because I had heard from the assistants that for Christmas, like during the fall season, for Christmas, he would give you a Christmas bonus, and your Christmas bonus was your highest paycheck. And so
that's clever.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to stick it out for my highest paycheck. We want to guess how much my bonus was? Yes.
Oh,
yes,
no.
How much my bonus was?
$500.
I wish.
No, it was less than that.
It was $100.
No.
$100. I said some very horrible thing.
That's awful.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've had some stories. I've had some experiences. I used to temp full time, so I, yeah.
Wow.
I do. They're like never ending.
You have your own collection of horror stories. Well, I would say for that listener, like, obviously that Dennis has, like, I feel like he's been asked that before and like something triggered him. But I'm glad, like, almost that he did it out in the open so everyone sees it. So everyone sees, like, their true colors. But I get where she's coming from. She's like, looking at hindsight, like, I should have laughed. I should have said something because I'm that way too.
That was the one thing I always said. If I was ever going to be in a permanent office and that's like where I wanted to stay, like, so my office now, I always just tell the dentist straight up, I love dental hygiene. Do not make me hate it. I love dental hygiene. I love seeing my patients. I love what I do. I love my career. I deserve that. I deserve to love what I do every day. Yeah. Don't take that away from me. Like, I'm here to help the patients. Don't make me, like, you know, don't bring negativity into something I love so much. Like, so if ever needs to be, anything needs to be approached, let's discuss it. Like, I want to be involved in outcomes, you know. I can never be disrespected for doing a job I love, you know. This one. So, next story, I had a periodontist I worked for that was so particular and controlling, he was insane. He made me stay after work one day so we could, quote, practice how I got up from my chair, and he sat down for the exam. So it was a smooth transition, and I didn't get in his way.
Wow. I know hygiene. Yeah. Wow. I hate people. That's micromanaged to the extreme.
Okay. So as you were telling that, when you said so we can practice, I'm thinking maybe he saw, like, holding the instrument or something. But the way she, like, got in and out of her chair.
Extreme.
What?
That's one of the ones that ends up on, like, Discovery ID.
Why are you examining me like that? Like, why are you in my op evaluating me? Yeah, extreme micromanaging.
Next one. My uncle passed away from leukemia the night before, and I went into work the next day. We had a new hygienist shadowing, and my boss asked me if I could take her out to lunch. I asked if we could postpone lunch because I was feeling upset, and he told me to make sure I explained myself to her so she did not think I was a B-I-T-C-H.
Did he use those exact words? I'm first, sorry for
your
loss.
I'm assuming so. Yes.
Wow.
Because she put an asterisk in the B word.
Wow.
I left my phone up in the break room. The page was on a local employment Facebook group for hygienists. My boss brought the phone to the reception desk as I was checking a patient out. He was holding my phone up and asking why I was looking at ads. I was without words and completely violated. This has all been the same boss.
Why was he looking at your phone?
That's such an invasion of privacy. Yes. Also, similar story kind of happened. Not similar, and sort the job thing. So I think I've told this story where I was at work. My boss had gotten mad at me about something, and at lunch, you know, you get those emails. This is like back in the day. You'd get emails with like jobs in your area, and there was a job that was like 0.00 miles away from like my current location, and the exact description of my job. And so I told him, I was like, did you post my job? And he was like, well, why are you looking? And I'm like, I mean, if you're fired, I'm fired. That's cool. Just let a girl know.
So our next story. At my first office, I used to be double booked with 30-minute appointments. Whoa. So technically, I'd have 15 minutes per adult patients. Plus, I'd also have two SRPs booked at the same time. And he would have the audacity to be mean or make faces when I was behind.
Oh, no.
That's horrible. Like, impossible.
Yeah. What are you? Because 15 minutes, that tells not me even care. Enough to take x-rays almost, you know, for real. Like half that time in the perio chart.
I'm stressed just thinking about it, honestly. That gave me a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's just impossible. And I know I had that bad temping experience that I got in my stories about a while ago where, yes, was it three columns? I've honestly like put it out of my memories because it was so bad. But I think I had three columns and it was new patients and SRPs and profies, and they expected me to get through all of it with no assistance. And the way that they treated me was so poorly, but I had even a lot of dentists messaging me on Instagram saying that's just not physically possible. Yeah. You know, like, I think there's a general understanding that you can't.
Yeah.
That's just not.
No, it's not.
Thing is, you can't rush me. Doesn't matter how many patients you put on my schedule. I physically cannot be rushed, I don't think.
And then some things just take that amount of time.
Exactly.
Like, just, I can't go any faster. I'm not purposely being, taking my time.
But I'm also not going to stress myself and my body out because of your scheduling mistakes.
True. Exactly.
I think it's crazy too. So for like a business decision to be the point that's making you run behind and then to get reprimanded for that, that's just like double. I know that happened in my first office, the doctor's office. So it was in New England where we had basements, you know, not like you Texans. And then we had the office was, they had a basement under the office and that was a finished basement, but that's where the dentist like offices are, you know? So they would go down there to hang out when they didn't have patients. And then we would type on the computer ready for exam. They wouldn't come up until 5 of our next appointment, but there would be 3 hygienists. So they would come with 5 minutes left in the appointment to see all 3 exams at the end. So a lot of times I wouldn't get my exam finished until 5 minutes into the next appointment.
Oh.
But we would have said we were ready at 20 of.
I have no patience
for them to come up.
Zero patience for that.
Yeah. I was a new grad. I wish I could go back in that time and kind of put my foot down. But in our meetings, like she would complain, the office or the practice owner would complain. She'd be like, well, you know, we need to be running on time better. We're bringing back patients late. And I just wanted to be like, are you kidding me? You come up 5 minutes before our appointments end, like to see all 3 patients. Like that's not setting us up for success. I think, definitely putting your foot down and saying like, this is what's needed if this is what's expected, you know?
Yeah. Because then that would be like, I was ready 20 before and the dentist didn't come up to here then. So that should be what we need to fix.
This one here, next story. Yesterday, I temped at a private office where all the workers were temps besides the front desk lady who was the only person working in the front. She had been at this office working for 10 years and was finally sick of working for this doctor. When I came in, she told me, I have no idea what's going on in this office, but it's not good and she probably won't be here this afternoon. When the doctor came up to her to talk, whatever it was that he said, she didn't like it. And as he was walking away, she flipped him off. Later that morning, when I was working on a new patient, you could hear her talking loudly to the doctor in the back about how she is quitting. She had her daughter come into the office to help her, and they were cussing out the doctor and telling him he better tell his wife to get a lawyer because she's going to go to the labor board. The new patient I had in my chair heard the whole thing, and the rest of the day was a mess since no one knew how to work the front desk.
Oh my gosh. So my first practice I worked at,
another Amber can relate.
The dentist, he got joy in like screaming at us, and like one of his proudest moments was he made one of the assistants cry, a male assistant. He made a male assistant cry. He never made me cry, but his wife worked for the practice. She was office manager, and they would get into like arguments, and then they'd be like, Amber, right? I'm right. And she'd be like, right? I'm right. And I'd be like, I don't know, because he's a dentist and I got to work with him, but she signs the checks, you know? Then I ended up leaving and my friend ended up staying, and he ended up professing his love to her, to the other assistant. Yeah.
Why does this happen so much?
And she was 19. He was probably close to 40. He was probably like my age now. And his wife was pregnant.
Oh.
And his thing was, I thought that once we started a family, my feelings for you would go away. And to my friend, I was like, I knew it.
I told you.
I told you. Guy's a psycho. Yeah, but they would get into like these screaming matches. And it's like, no wonder you can never keep anybody. Like I only stayed there a year because it was back then where I thought like you had to stay somewhere for a year. It would like ruin your reputation. I wouldn't be able to get another job ever again. And so like I literally to the day stayed 2 weeks.
Dr. Cho the other day was saying he could never work. He started off the practice working with his wife. She was his assistant. And I think she also helped in the front, you know, when they were slow, when they were first building, they worked together. And then he actually said the other day, he's, you know, I don't know if I could work with her. I feel like we would get into arguments about how things are done. And then I was like, no offense, but I think I would default to her. I was like, she's pretty, she's a strong woman. Like she keeps him in check. Like I was like, I'm sorry, but I think I'd have to default to her. He's like, yeah, I don't blame you.
I knew this other dentist who also worked with his wife, and his wife ended up, his brother worked there and his mother-in-law worked there doing like billing, and the brother was an assistant. She ended up, firing the brother via text message, and then firing the mother-in-law from the practice. So maybe not have wives working at the practice? I mean, I should say like a statement like that because I'm also a dentist's wife. And sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe we could do it. We could be the exception if I did the marketing and just the marketing. I don't know that it would be there.
But going back to that story, I almost want to know like what happened afterwards. Like,
yeah, all that turnover. I mean,
A, to go in an office full of temps, like no one knows where anything is. And then like, what happened to that doctor? Why did he lose all his temps? I like want a follow up explanation.
And what was she going to the labor board about? I'm curious. But also too, I will say, and I wasn't in the front desk lady's shoes, but you should never swear at anyone. Like, I feel like in that context, because you're not like cemented into an office. So if there is a toxic office out there, no one's forcing you to stay. You can leave, you know?
What does he think? Like, do they not realize that they are the problem? Like, if you've got all these issues, do they not? I think they don't. They're probably like, poor me.
Or no, like, one, there's like zero self-reflection. No one cares about the patient.
They blame.
Yep.
Everybody's after the money.
Well, in that story, didn't it say the front office was there for 10 years?
Yeah. She was there for 10 years.
I don't think I've ever. Yeah.
Was it a slow turmoil?
But now I'm just like, I wonder what happened. Like it's a TV series or something.
Or was everyone quitting and then he kept offering her more money just to stay just because he couldn't have nobody? So this one is a little scary. After I quit my toxic place, my former office manager saw me on the highway and, in caps, followed me to my new place of work. The same office manager used to call competing offices and make fake appointments.
Who has the time no. to do that? Someone's being petty. Yeah, no,
people
no.
People crazy. Oh my gosh. Like crazy.
Restraining order, man.
There was this girl, similar and not similar at all, but who was dating a dental student. She was a hygienist and she broke up with the dental student and the dental student made an appointment to see her at the practice as her patient, right? Like very stalker mode and it would like follow her and stuff. It was a Facebook post. Yeah.
We have another one. I was getting underpaid as a new grad and then found out my coworkers who had been at the office for 8 to 10 years were only getting paid $1 more than me. I ran so fast.
So basically everyone was underpaid.
Everybody's getting underpaid. I thought it was going to be like, I'm getting underpaid and everybody else is getting more money than me. Because we've heard those stories before where people are like, don't advocate for themselves, right? And they like underpay you. But good for you for running away. Because she probably thought like, or they probably thought, I'm going to like, well, I'm just starting off and, you know, they'll give me a raise at some point, but right. years and years in and only got a dollar more.
She also added, we couldn't see our hygiene production or get raises, quote, because hygiene doesn't make us any money.
Wow. I hear that a lot. Well, then that's like, that's the excuse that hygiene doesn't make any money.
Then let me see my production. Let me prove that to me.
But it's also like, we don't control that. We're not the ones bartering with insurance to get more. Yeah, setting the fees. Yeah. We don't have control over the fees. So it's as inflation goes up and everyone's expenses go up and all these other base salaries around us go up, we have to find something of another way we can produce or another way that we could do something to help overall for the practice and add value in another way. If these fees aren't going to change, that can't be held against us. You know, that's just how I feel at least. A doctor wanted to pay me less than I requested, suggested I had 30-minute appointments so I could double my income. So I'm guessing he wanted to pay her the half rate of what she wanted and suggested if she wanted to get what she wanted, she needed to do double the work.
What? Oh my gosh.
That's oh my gosh. No, yeah, that's not how payment works. Maybe we need some treat story, like trick or treat, like some good temp story.
Some treat stories? Oh, I worked with this doctor. Shout out Dr. Segulio. Love her. I actually saw her. I went to go have lunch with my sisters last week. And I saw her eating at the same restaurant. And I was like, love her. She has like a free dental day for patients every year. And she's always like, oh, whatever you need. Was always supportive of hygienists, like doing local anesthesia. Like I could bring my kids in to like see her. And she's always telling me like, hey, your husband needs to open up a practice. Like meet with me. I will tell you, I'll show you my books. I'll give you all my secrets. Yeah. Just like super nice, super supportive. She would buy us breakfast and like full breakfast, like pancakes and like eggs and a meat and toast And then she would buy us lunch, or she'd buy us like a treat. Just like always so, so nice. I think she recently took her entire staff to Vegas. And she's had her staff. And her office is not like in a super cute area or anything, but she's just really just so nice, so ethical. When people ask me like for a dentist, I'm always like, Dr. Segulio.
I have another one. The dentist did all ordering but procrastinated. We'd end up having to borrow gloves from another office.
I've been there.
Why is it? Why do they always procrastinate placing the order? I mean, I do it too, but I'm also not running a business. But sometimes Ricky will be like, oh, can you grab me this off Amazon? And I'll be like, yeah. And then a day later, he'll be like, oh, when's it supposed to arrive? And I'm like, like, it's in our cart.
Well, the nonprofit I worked at always seemed to have budget issues, which was interesting because we had a group that gave us money for our supplies. It's like robbing from Peter to PayPal. Right. So like we would have money in our bank account, but maybe like pharmacy didn't have money and they had to pay these bills. So they would pay over here. And then when the money finally came in, like for pharmacy, then they would pay us back and then we could order our supplies. And yeah. And so, I mean, nonprofit life, you know.
And sometimes they want to wait till like ordering's done all at once. So it's easier to like consolidate receipts. But there was a time at a practice I was at where the orthodontist in the area, they came over to borrow alginate, which, you know, orthodontist, you need alginate, right?
Yeah.
But I think it was more of a shipping situation and like back ordering. Oh,
especially like during COVID. Yeah. This sounds probably like it's not right. Just like a recurrent thing. But you need gloves.
Yeah. Like that's like basic.
Yeah. My friend was saying like that she, at her clinic, the AC went out. I'm like, oh, can't, we just canceled. I'm not doing it. I'm not working in the heat.
Someone says, I got paid per patient. I found this one interesting. Got paid per patient and was new to the practice, so I had to create my own clientele.
Paid per patient?
Yeah.
What? Then you need to like market for me. You're going to pay me a marketing job too? That's crazy. It goes back to why I'm against collections. Not against production, but I'm against collections. Because I can produce X amount, but if the front isn't collecting, that's not on me. And then my payment is based on whether other people are doing their job. And that's not fair.
This one was two together. She said she had some concerns regarding cleanliness, that sensor holders were not being sterilized in between every single patient, and that the manager would come in smelling like cannabis.
Gross.
Oh, my gosh. I've had several experiences where people smell like cigarettes.
At work, like the employees?
Yes, I've had a hygienist who smells like cigarettes.
Oh. But then they spray themselves. So then you have the mix of that like over perfume spray plus the cigarette smell. It's like,
Let me tell y'all a story. When I was in hygiene school, I was hanging out with these girls who like I never hung out with, like sometimes, but not like, honestly, it was me and Amy and that was it. Not this Amy, a different Amy. And this one time we decided we were going to go to lunch with these three other girls. And apparently one of them was a smoker. And we were like in second year of hygiene school now. So we're in the van and she's got the windows rolled down because she's smoking. And the next car over is all our hygiene faculty.
No.
Yes. I ducked down.
No.
I was like, no, I am not associated. Not associated.
Oh, shoot.
I was like, and the first time like that I went to lunch with them, of course, that's who would drive by.
Oh, man.
I was even crazier because then I became faculty at that school later on. Is we hardly would ever have time to leave the campus to go and eat lunch as faculty. I was like, so what are the odds that they left campus to go eat and that's when they caught her smoking and then we were associated. And one of our faculty was funny. He's like, I'll bring the Chantix.
Oh, that's wild. I've had patients come in smelling, of course, like reeking. I remember one time I had to go to Natalie's soccer practice right afterwards, and my last patient came in just smelling straight like I don't know what you just pop or I don't know the proper, but it was just like fuming off of him. And I was like, there's no way this isn't getting in my hair or getting on my clothes. And then I went straight to her soccer practice. And I remember like everyone was laughing at me because I was having like an anxiety attack. I'm like, they're going to think I'm a drug addict. Like, they're going to like look at me funny. I was like, I don't want to do this.
Well, did y'all see, and y'all probably didn't see, but that one TikTok dentist who, he's actually a Texas dentist who got actions against his license. He has several actions against his license. But the first action against his license was because he overprescribed opioids to a patient, like hundreds, to one patient. But he also was prescribing weight loss, like diet pills, including to himself. To patients and to himself. And so the board found that while he was misusing like the prescription of opioids, they also found that it was completely out of his scope to be prescribing weight loss medication.
Right, it's practicing medicine. 100%. How do you not think these things are going to get flagged?
You know, I don't know.
It's not like a paper pad anymore.
But also, TSPDE, this guy's got like 4 actions against his license. And he's still got a license.
That's scary.
It is scary. Well, my husband says because we were reading through this guy's actions. And my husband's like super paranoid, very by the book, very like, I do the things right, like very scared of things. And he's like, well, this makes me feel a little bit better. He's like, it means I can mess up a little bit. And I'm like, they're not going to take my license away.
Well, even with him like prescribing himself the weight loss medicine, like I would think the pharmacy would flag that and see it as a dentist, but I guess they don't.
I worked with this hygienist this was years ago, whose husband was a dentist, and he would prescribe their son ADHD medication. Like the kid had ADHD and would prescribe them ADHD medication. She said for years and years, it was never an issue. And then one time they were in Florida for like Disney World or whatever, and they need to get him a new prescription. And that's where he got flagged and he was no longer allowed to prescribe like ADHD medication. But obviously out of his scope, right?
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I mean, there should be limitations for... I know they're trying to get hygienists to be able to prescribe like mouthwashes and fluoride toothpaste, a very limited prescription thing. I feel like that's how it just... Personally, I think that's how it should be. If you're a psychologist, you should be able to... You shouldn't be able to do like a PPI for a prescription. You know, like, why is that not even a thing? Like, why you should be only allowed to prescribe medications within your scope of your specialty, you know? Yeah. You shouldn't be a GI doctor prescribing like high blood pressure meds.
Well, that's why when we do outreach here in Texas, I can apply fluoride, but the dentist needs to stand there and be like, yes, you can apply the fluoride. They need to prescribe that fluoride.
Well, let's do these two here as an ethical dilemma. Which one would you rather?
Okay.
All right. So we have option A. Would you rather... Would you rather the doctor use your chair for a quick filling in between your back-to-back schedule, of course, leading you to run behind, or would you rather work in an office that you had to fight the assistants to stop scaling for pro fees?
Oh my God! Oh, the chair.
You'd rather the chair be used for the
for sure. An assistant scaling.
That's just illegal.
It is. Well, I mean, it depends on like.
It's like a lot of the stuff is legal.
In Texas, it's legal. But if the dentist used your chair for a filling, they can do that. But
it used to be a thing, right, where there was a bunch of misinformation a few years ago with the Sunset Act, like years ago. Initially, when they passed this legislation, it passed that assistants didn't need to have any like qualifications necessarily in order to polish or apply sealants. They can be trained on the job. Yeah. Well, Hygiene Association fought against that, and they changed the legislation, the rules, so that assistants have to have 2 years of clinical experience. They have to take a CODA-approved course. They have to do all these things. And on top of that, they added that a dentist cannot bill for a pro fee if an assistant only polished. They have to have either a hygienist or a dentist who scaled that patient in order for it to be billed as a pro fee. But people didn't know that happened. And so assistants were continuing to polish and offices will continue to bill for pro fees. Same thing with sealants and like on the job training for both those things. I think that caused a ton of confusion.
So Angela, I'd like to hear your opinion on this one. Dentist made us stand in the room holding the sensor to take a pediatric PA every time. Do you see that happen?
Not every time, no. And not the dentist. It would be because typically it's the assistants that take the x-rays and then the hygienist will sometimes.
The dentist made them stand in the room.
See, okay, so I think to your point, I have seen a lot of formerly assistants or assistants that have been trained on the job that don't like know any better. And I feel like, oh, it's whatever. It's invisible. Like they don't think about it and they stay in the room. Yeah. I don't. Absolutely not. No, I'll find another job. But I have friends, I have people who I've worked with who are like, it's whatever. And I'm like, I'm already infertile. Like, I don't need any more of this. And I've talked about this before, where if I, God willing, get pregnant, I'm not taking any more x-rays, period. Oh, period. I don't care that I'm not in the room. I'm
100,
not.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, no, we always took all those precautions when I was pregnant, someone else was pregnant. Like, we're just like, not even going to risk it.
It's
know?
Not, yeah, yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, no.
Because you learn in hygiene school, you learn it's not the number of occurrences. It could happen. You could take your first ever x-ray and something can, you know, you could get radiation from that. That could make a change in your body. It doesn't.
And I've recently had a CT scan, an MRI, and back x-rays all the months, a month, like 2 months. Yeah. No more. I'm capped.
Oh, I was going to say, and all the flying, because flying is radiation too.
And my flying. Oh my gosh. I saw a TikTok. I mean, I care about my skin like a lot. I put a lot of emphasis on my skin. And I heard from a dermatologist that the sun exposure, the rays from being on the plane, even if you like close your thing, your blinds, is like super, super high. And I'm like, now I'm going to have to blame my wrinkles on my flying.
No.
So like lathering my face up while I'm on the plane.
So someone wrote in, I am working at a front desk while in hygiene school. One day I got really sick with a stomach bug and had to call out, which I never really do, but I had to. I went to the doctor, got a note to take 2 days off, told my office manager, and she just replied back, okay. Then the next day she texted me around 6 p.m. asking if I was coming in the next day, and I replied, yes, I'll be there. Half an hour later, she asked if I'll be able to open as usual, and I replied, yes, I'll be there at 7:30 tomorrow. She did not ask me, how are you feeling? I hope you're doing better. Nothing at all. And I've only been there for a few months. Next day, I go back to work and everyone asks me how I was. And she didn't ask me until midday. I was so disappointed by the treatment. Like, I just wasn't appreciated. And should I have just shown to work with my stomach bug? She made me feel like I needed to apologize for being sick.
Wow. No, I've been there, right? What I can't stand is when people take things so personal. Why are you so bothered that I got sick? Unless I thought you were lying, right? It makes you feel like you don't believe me.
And especially, right? I mean, yeah, sick in general.
Why would I lie about this?
Yeah. You know?
I still feel that way. No, not now. Not in my office now. I feel very understood. But I'd say up until recently, I've still felt that anxious anxiety feeling about ever needing to call in. I don't know, I remember one time, I think like it was before dentistry, I remember one time texting my boss a picture of my thermometer. They didn't ask for it, but I just was so paranoid that they thought I was lying, but I had like a 103 degree fever and I sent a picture of the thermometer. I think they were just like, okay. Like, it wasn't an expectation. Yeah. But I hate that. I think it's an American thing. There's so much guilt,
yeah, for sure,
put on needing to call in to take care of yourself.
Well, when I was like a clinical manager before, and people, like, I would be the person people called into, and some people it was like habitual, and other people there would be like, do you think they're lying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to choose to believe them. If they're lying, that's on them. Yeah. Like, that's on them. But the best I can do and be a considerate manager is to believe them.
I think the one thing that we did when I was director was if people asked for time off, I would give them time off. I mean, within reason, but sometimes even to an extreme, we would give them time off because we never wanted to give people the option of being like, fine, I'm not going to ask for time off. I'm just going to call in.
Yeah,
I would much rather. And I would tell people like, hey, even if you're just remotely, I would tell my staff, like, if you're remotely feeling sick, like you don't know, but you're like, it's 5 p.m. and you're feeling weird, just let me know now. And that way I can prepare for tomorrow versus waiting till 3 a.m. because then I can't do anything about tomorrow, right? Now it's today and I can't do anything about it. Like, I'd rather you tell me 5 p.m., 6 p.m., like, I'm not feeling well. I can call patients and be like, hey, let's reschedule. And then if you feel fine, you can't come to work, come into work, and we can call people back. Like, I would much rather that. I think it's also your responsibility as a manager to let them know that they're allowed grace, that you're there to work with them, that they can be honest with you and share those things with you. That sounds like an obvious manager problem.
Yeah. So as spooky as these stories may be, I do believe amongst all of them, there's something that everyone has been able to relate to at one point or another. I know we've talked about kind of, would you rather stay and work through this, or would this be something that would lead you to quit? So hopefully if you're listening, you're kind of getting that motivation to stand up for yourself and do what you need to. I do believe, and I hope that everyone finds more treats out there than tricks, and everyone has a safe Halloween. And we look forward to hearing from you and to talking again next week.
And thank you so much for sharing your stories with us as well. Happy Halloween!
Thank you for listening to Positively Hygiene.
Join us every Tuesday for a new episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for the opportunity for how you can contribute to our podcast.
And follow and review Positively Hygiene on Apple and Spotify Podcasts.